You're listening to Westside Church. For more information, visit us at westsideinfo.com.
Morning, everybody. So good to see all of you here. A particularly big continuing in on Happy Mother's Day. At Westside here, here's what we do. We celebrate women today because you are awesome. Okay, I'm going to say it again. I'm going to give you guys another chance, the guys. We're celebrating all you women because you girls are awesome. All right. We love moms, we love grandmas, we love aunties, we love big sisters, we love friends, we love people that are surrogate moms and sisters and all the things that go on. We celebrate foster moms and adoptive moms and all those, just every aspect of honoring women in our culture. And so I hope that comes through loud and clear today. And so Tara and I just got back from Cameron Park. We're glad to be there. I just want to remind us that Cameron Park is something that the Lord told us about a year and 4 or 5 months ago. We felt we heard a word prophetically from the Lord. If you've never been around that, just ask some of the people here. We felt we heard God say it's time to plant another church in El Dorado County. And some people might say, oh, there's enough churches in El Dorado County. To me, not till every person is celebrating Jesus are there. We're always welcoming more churches. That's why I meet regularly with other pastors in this area. We pray together. We pray for each other that the name of Jesus will be exalted, that people will come into the kingdom. Every church is not the same, and every church doesn't draw the same kind of people, just like home groups are a little bit different personality, and teachers' classrooms are different, and so this church has a particular call on it, and if you feel aligned on that, that a lot of people have, that this is the place where God wants you, just plug in, jump in with both feet, and go for it. There's no perfect church. There is actually, but there's only one member in it, and so it would be you. That would be the perfect church, and it wouldn't be perfect because church involves community and loving each other. So well, I want to thank you guys for being here. There's a good crowd here this morning. And those of you, I'm not going to give you away or make you raise your hand, but those of you that are here because your mom asked you to come to church on Mother's Day with her, thank you for being here. I really appreciate that. And you're very welcome here, and I appreciate that. This is Mother's Day. This last Tuesday, I was in Chicago, and I met my brother from Florida there, and we buried my mom Tuesday morning there. So this was kind of a big week for me. And my mom died a couple months ago, and we had a memorial service already, but now it was springtime in Chicago, and it was appropriate to go do the burial at the graveyard. And so we spent time there. Also, by the way, my parents bought these four plots there about 50 years ago when my grandfather died, thinking that they were going to, you know, save money by, you know, pre-need, that kind of thing. I don't know if you've ever been involved in that. But note to self, probably in 50 years, nobody you know is going to live in that city anymore. So that's why our kids and my siblings, we have to go all across. Nobody lives in Chicago anymore. So my brother's from Florida. I come over here. So that was just a story. So we're sitting there and sharing memories of my mom. And you guys that have heard my story and say, oh, here's Steve's story again. Listen, it's the only story I have. It's my story, all right? And I hope you all know that you have a story to tell about what Jesus did in your life and how he's brought you through. And so I encourage you to share your story. Learn how to share your story in 30 seconds. Yep. Learn how to share your story in 3 minutes. Learn how to share your story if people keep listening in 5 minutes or an hour, but always taking every opportunity to share the love of God with others. And so I didn't know my dad. My mom died when I was 5, and my two sisters and I went into the foster system in Santa Barbara, California, and a family took us in, and they had 5 kids of their own, took us 3 in, and that's my family to this day, and that's the mom that just died. But she had 3 kids in a row, boom, boom, boom. It's a lot harder than that, you know, looking back on it, but each one is, like, difficult, but history paints a different picture. And then she had my little sister, you know, and my little sister was one of those kind that needed a friend. And so she was looking for a foster child. And the social worker called her up one day and said, hey, we got this little guy, and he needs a place to go. And if he doesn't get a place soon, like in the next day or two, I was in juvenile hall. And so I did my time. I just want you to know, I'm confessing it. I did my stint in juvie. But I was the only kid on this one side of juvenile hall. And if they didn't find a place for me to place me in a foster home, I'd have to go to the other side over here where people earned their way into juvenile hall. And they didn't want to do that. I'm glad that I didn't have to go over there. So they said, it's not a little girl, but it's a guy. Would you be willing to take him? And my mother said, yes. And I'm so thankful for somebody who would reach out outside of their comfort zone for another human being. And so that's what I shared this, you know, at the gravesite with my brother. And that I'm so glad that my mom said yes, because I soon heard about Jesus. I soon gave my life to Jesus. And I've never regretted that ever since. And so, moms, you have a special place in all of our hearts. All of you that sacrifice and give and go countless hours without sleep and notice that you have throw up on your pants and, you know, just all the things that happen through life. We love you. We honor you. We honor all the women today. Amen. Father, I pray that you'd open our hearts, open our eyes this morning as we get into your word and look at healthy pictures of the local church, healthy pictures of believers. Father, I pray that you would take us from immaturity to maturity according to your word, and you can do that supernaturally. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We are looking at healthy pictures of local churches, and also those same pictures apply to believers as individuals. We're going through the series Ecclesia. We're actually winding down. We'll finish sometime next month in June, and I've really enjoyed this journey. I'm going to go read a passage and mention several characteristics of health, and then I'm going to key in on the one that we're going to talk about this morning mostly is about honor. And what the Bible says about honor. Paul says this, if the Lord Jesus is willing, I hope to send Timothy to you soon for a visit. Then he can cheer me up by telling me how you're getting along. I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. So this is the first sign of healthy local churches and believers, is that we have a genuine interest in others. We consider others more important than ourselves. That's a big deal, because when we are born, it starts out, there's three words of maturity. It's very simple for me anyway. I've got it all figured out. You start out with me. It's all about me, this kingdom of self. The world revolves around me. I'm in my baby carriage. Everybody's looking at me. If I do something stupid in the middle of the room, like this, everybody laughs and they're looking at me everywhere I look. They're all looking at me. I must be the center of the universe, right? And so babies grow up with the me, me, me. Sadly, some people never grow out of that. The world still revolves around you and everything affects you. The next level of maturity, if we want to be mature, is we or us. That's the next level where, hey, I realize that there's other people out there, and then if I do something for you, you might do something for me. There's a mutual beneficial relationship, symbiotic relationship going on here, and we're going to help each other out. That's the next level of maturity. There's another level that's called you. When I was a kid, I learned a song about joy. It said, Jesus and others and you. J-O-Y. What a wonderful way to spell joy, to put Jesus first, then others, then you. Because the height of maturity is to think about others more than you think about yourself and not expect something in return. That's going back to the middle one where it's about we or us. But God wants us to grow and to mature to where we're giving and not expecting anything back. And when we look at moms generally, we see that, yes, they do that a lot. All the others care only for themselves, not about what matters to Jesus Christ. But you know how Timothy has proved himself like a son with his father. He has served with me in preaching the good news. The next sign that we see here is that we are servants and sons, or servants and children of God. It's kind of a odd balance because, well, are we sons of the King, God Almighty? Are we the King's kids and have all the rights and privileges and inheritance that's awaiting us? Or are we servants? Are we servants where we're just serving and groveling and, you know, this kind of concept that we have? No, we actually have the privilege of serving at the same time that we are His children. This wonderful balance that we have as believers, understanding that, yes, we are sons, we are children, but we're also servants. And that's health in a believer and in a local church. I hope to send him to you just as soon as I find out what's going to happen to me here. And I have confidence from the Lord that I myself will come to see you soon. Meanwhile, I thought I would send Epaphroditus back to you. He's a true brother, a co-worker. They're commending Epaphroditus, who took some messages and took some money back and forth, a fellow soldier. And he was your messenger to help me in my need. So he calls Epaphroditus family and worker and soldiers. And this is another sign of health in a local church. A lot of times we look at church and we have our favorite picture of church. Well, there's many pictures of the church in the New Testament, local churches. And so we're pictured as a family. A lot of times people enjoy that picture. Well, God's our Father, and we're all brothers and sisters, and we get along usually, and this is our family. We like this, and we know it. It's comfortable. And then sometimes the church is pictured as an army. And some of us, that's our favorite picture. We're soldiers, and we're pulling down strongholds, and we're casting down every imagination. We're taking ground for Jesus. Yeah, get your army boots on. That's true, but it's not all there is. Some of us like a flock. You know, we're a flock. The church is pictured as a flock. And the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know what I shall not want means? That means I don't need anything. He's taking care of everything for me. So we're little sheep. We're laying on our back. We're laying in the field of green grass. We're looking up at the puffy white clouds. We got a little piece of straw, you know, coming out of our mouth. Just He's going to take care of us and lead us into fresh water and green grass. And we don't have a care in the world. Jesus is my shepherd. That's true, but it's not all the truth. So no one picture makes a complete picture of the kingdom or healthy local churches. We need to keep all those things in balance. That yes, we're an army. Yes, we're a family. Yes, we're a flock. Yes, we're a building. Yes, we're a government. Yes, there's all kinds of pictures that we see of the church. I'm sending him, that's Epaphroditus, because he has been longing to see you, and he was very distressed that you heard he was ill, and he certainly was ill. In fact, he almost died, but God had mercy on him and also on me so that I would not have one sorrow after another. So I am all the more anxious to send him back to you, for I know you will be glad to see him. Then I will not be so worried about you. Welcome him with Christian love and with great joy. Talking about hospitality here, that's another sign of health. Hospitality is quickly disappearing from our culture. In their culture, in the first century, if somebody was a traveler and they knocked on your front door, it would be normal for you to invite them in for a meal and invite them to stay overnight and then send them on their way. There is no way in the world we would do that today. All right, who's going to do that? Very few of you. I'll bet maybe some of you have, but you're like on the fringe. You're outliers compared to us, but it's not very normal. But here's what it can break the mold in our culture. You can invite somebody over for a meal. You can have somebody in your house. I know believers who never had anybody in their house before, never opened themselves up to be hospitable because we're commanded to be hospitable. And so that's why we have small groups. We want to get in each other's lives. We want to go out for meals together. I'll tell you what, you can say hi and bye for 2 years here and not know somebody as well as if you just go to lunch with them and tell your stories. Tell them your story. That's a great conversation, sir. Tell me your story. Many of you have heard me or Terry say that to you. Tell us your story. Where did you come from? How'd you meet Jesus? How'd you meet each other? How'd you get married? About your kids? About your just everything? To get to know and build these strong, healthy relationships requires hospitality, especially for first-timers and reunions, getting back. If you come back in a long time. We want to be hospitable as a church. There's a whole industry in our culture called the hospitality industry, and they want nothing to do with hospitality. What they want is to be nice enough to you so they can get your money. All right? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about genuine hospitality, inviting people into your lives. So it says, and give him, still talking about Epaphroditus, the honor that people like him deserve. That's a sign of health, is giving honor to whom honor is due. A culture of honor, biblical honor, is what we're talking about today. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. For he risked his life, that sacrifice for the work of Christ. He was at the point of death, well, doing for me what you couldn't do from far away. And I'll tell you what, we're going to finish in a few minutes with the greatest sacrifice of all is Jesus Christ, Lord Almighty. And he is the one to whom most honor is due. So number one, honor. Welcome him with Christian love, with great joy. Give him the honor that people like him deserve. So what is honor? Honor is to recognize the value of someone or thing and to act accordingly. So if somebody has value for you, that's moms, that's why we're honoring you today. You have great value, and we recognize that. We want to honor you, not just today, but every day. One of my favorite movies, which I don't recommend, because I don't recommend any movies anymore, and I'm not taking that chance. I go, I like this movie. And you go, you said you like this movie. It's terrible like this. So I don't recommend this movie. One of my favorite movies, Gladiator. It's about leadership. It's about sacrifice. It's about, you know, battles and war and soldiers and all this stuff. So Maximus is lying dead. He just died. The end of the, spoiler alert if you haven't seen it. And he was a great soldier of Rome. So the queen, the king, the bad king, he's dead too. But the queen says about Maximus, he was a soldier of Rome. Honor him. And so all the soldiers, they forget the bad king and they go pick up the true warrior who should have been there. And they pick up Maximus, take him away to La La Land. So I want to tell you, there's something about great sacrifice that we recognize. It makes it easy to give them honor. The Bible says, number two, to honor your mother. Guys, today, dads, sorry, you're just in parentheses because today's Mom's Day. It does say honor your father and mother. I know that, but today we're talking about moms, but you get at least the parentheses, all right? Okay, so you're in there. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you. I don't know how many believers I know where that doesn't take place, the honor of parents, mother and father, whether you agree or disagree or don't understand why would God ever do that? It doesn't matter. It's still a command. Things don't go well. It seems like nothing ever goes right. I have close friends, even some, I don't want to just say anything else, but not in this church, but people who don't honor, things just never seem to go well. I would challenge you, take the word of God at heart, obey what it says, and see God move on your behalf. Because it doesn't say honor your father and mother like our culture has rewritten this. Our culture's law for this is honor your father and mother until you're 18. Then after that, you can do whatever you want because you are your own person, right? Here's one for some of us older ones. It doesn't say here, honor your father and mother while they're still alive. It says, honor your father and mother, period. And we see that this is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. Nobody is exempt from this. And so whatever situation you're in, and some of us had great moms, great godly examples. Some of us had maybe up and down experience with our mother. Some of us may have had a painful relationship with a mother. Maybe she was the relationship or absent or just whatever it was. It doesn't give us any leeway. Her character and her effectiveness as a parent is irrelevant. It's a command. Honor your father and mother. I want to challenge all of us that this is a big deal. Do you want things to go well for you? And I don't want to play God about the, you know, time of, you know, that you may live a long life and because some seemingly godly people have died earlier. I don't want to say what God's, maybe they live longer than they were going to, but I have no idea. I don't want to second guess God, but I can understand this. Things will go well for you, and I've seen the fruit of it, where things don't go well for people. So I want to challenge all of us on that. See, God established these guidelines for Israel because he wanted strong, healthy families that will build a strong, healthy nation. God wants that for us. Strong, healthy families will build a strong, healthy local church. I believe that God will bless our homes when we seek honor. How do we do that? How do we do this? How do you honor your mother? This is Mother's Day. How do you honor your mother? Or the person who mothered you, or the person who has made a big difference in your life. These things are all truths. Love her unconditionally. We're called to love our moms as God does. He loves them unconditionally. He loves them without any qualification or expectation on their part to receive his love. The first verse I ever remembered, I think it was the first verse that I ever memorized in Awana when I was 8 years old, was Romans 5:8. And it says, "In that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Good King James Version. And for the next 7 or 8 years, I won every memory contest on Bible verses. But I love that verse. While we were still sinners, before we ever knew him, he died for us. That means he made the first move before we ever even thought of him, before we ever glanced his way. He stepped out of eternity into time and space, made this great sacrifice for you and for me because he loved us. And we didn't even know who he was yet. He made the first move. I love that. And he loves us unconditionally. We forgive her compassionately. I hope I don't offend anybody, but since there are no perfect mothers, at times, we have to forgive them. We do. And we will forgive mothers compassionately. So sometimes when your mom seems harsh or maybe she's unloving or slow in her compassion towards you, first of all, you probably deserve that. But if she's just having a bad day herself in her humanity, cut her some slack. Just the same way you want people to cut you some slack when you blow it, when you're not having a good day. And so we want to forgive them compassionately. And so we never walked in her shoes anyway. We don't know what it was like. We might think we do, but the more we investigate that, we might go, actually, it wasn't so easy. That road wasn't so easy. And so we never have a right to judge somebody else. We haven't walked in their shoes, and they have to answer to God anyway. So we want to be compassionate. We want to remember her gratefully. So we want to, even though this is Mother's Day, we want to remember them all year around. Everything that we did, they did for us when we're young. That is an amazing thing, what moms do. And dads, I know that it's 2018, and I know, and I see all the guys walking around with baby carriers and all that stuff. I know the world's changing. You didn't see that in my dad's day. You rarely saw it in my day. And nowadays, it's all, I know things are changing, but actually moms and the ladies seem to know how to sacrifice a little bit easier. But remember them. Don't just let it end on Mother's Day, but all year around. You know, actually, one of the most hurtful things out there is being forgotten. Don't forget. Not just today, but always. Next one is treat her kindly. Let your mother know she's valued. And here's the thing. Let her know in a tangible way. Young people, tangible means a way that she can tell. If you have nice feelings in your heart toward your mom, great. Let her know that you have these nice feelings in your heart so that she can know what you, a text, a message, an email, a note, a good old-fashioned. It's like the most amazing instrument for communication the world has ever invented. It's called a pen. And you can write something out. And that takes some of you. You might have to print it out. I know cursive is going the way of the 8-track tape. But let her know. Husbands, let your wife know in a tangible way. And young people, take the time to listen attentively to your mom. And my definition of young people is anybody under 120. When you talk to your mom, no eye rolling, listen attentively and longingly, and help her out when she's in need. How do we build a biblical honor? I want to kind of stay away from the culture of honor phrase, even though we know what that means. How do we build what the Bible says about honor? First of all, think about your interests a little less and others' interests a little more. This is building honor among a church, a healthy church. Philippians 2, verses 2 to 4. We did this quite a few weeks ago. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Do you know why each person should be looked on with value, each human being? Because every single human being is created in the image of Almighty God, and each person is of immeasurable worth. In fact, countries around the world who have a biblical foundation, I refrain from saying a Christian nation because I actually don't believe in Christian nations. A nation cannot become a Christian. Only people can become Christians. But you know what I'm talking about, a biblical foundation. Those countries around the world, they value lives. So if a 130-year-old person is murdered or a 3-day-old baby is murdered, they both are murdered because each life is of immeasurable worth and value. Every single life that God stamped his image on, and they are valuable. So each person that you come in contact with, each person in this church is created in God's image, so they're worth being honored and worth being respected and worth being cared for, and none of us are perfect, so we're all in the same boat, so we can all extend the same courtesy and love one another the same way. The second thing is we treat everyone like Jesus would, with love. Every single person Jesus came across, he treated them with love. Total, eternal, abject love. God's love, his unconditional love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 7, this is often read at wedding ceremonies. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Let's read this with your name instead of the word love. So if I was doing it, it would be like this. Love is patient and kind. Oh, thank you. Thank you. She just said it from the floor. Steve is patient and kind. I love you, honey. You're so good. Let's say this as if it was my name there. Steve is patient and kind. Steve is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Steve does not demand his own way. Steve is not irritable. That one gets me every time. And Steve keeps no record of being wronged. You know what? This is my favorite one in this list. You know why? Love does not keep a list. Husbands and wives, kids and parents, siblings, just it doesn't matter who it is. Love does not keep lists. So if you're having it out with somebody and you go, and you did this and this and this and this, that's a list. And we're commanded as believers not to keep lists. We are commanded to make sure the sun doesn't go down on our wrath. But Matthew 18 says you deal with every issue as it comes up and you put it behind you and move on so that you'll never have a list. There's health and there's healing and wholeness. You go, but I remember what they did this like this. No, the Bible says that when we confess our sins, he will separate our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? And he will remember them no more. God will remember our sin no more. A lot of times you hear people say, oh, God, he doesn't remember. You ask him to forgive you, so he doesn't remember. No, he's God. He knows very well. He doesn't forget. It doesn't say he can't remember them anymore. It says he will remember them no more. That means he chooses not to ever bring it up again, not to remember it anymore. When you forgive somebody, you put it behind you, you never bring it up again, and you move on in health and wholeness. And if you haven't put it behind you, get it dealt with and put it behind you so that you can go through it with a healthy, wholesome relationship. This is how you build a culture of honor in your home and in the local church. I'm going to talk to the guys for a minute. Men honor women. Now, I know in our culture that it's becoming more and more almost an insult if a guy wants to help a girl out or open a door for her. Ladies, we don't think you're weak. We don't think you're stupid. We don't think you're pathetic. We don't think any of those things. We want to honor you. Honestly. And Paul says it to Timothy in chapter 5, verse 2. This is a big deal. And there's a lot of young people in here. Young men. Timothy told you how to behave around women. He said, treat younger women as if they were your sisters. Treat older women as if they were your mother. So if we took all the guys around here and you looked at every single girl in the room, either some of them are older than you and some of them are younger than you. I doubt that anybody's exactly the same second they were born. So oftentimes I'm talking to young men about purity and about relationships and liking girls and things like that. And I'll tell them, I said, the thing that you're thinking about doing with that pretty girl over there, do you want some other guy doing what you're thinking about with your mom or your sister? And their first reaction is always this, gross. I said, exactly. You treat every woman in this church as your sister or your mother, and we will develop a culture of honor here. Women are not objects for us to think about. They're objects, they're people. They're not objects for us to this. They're objects for us to love and to honor and to like this. They're not objects, they're women. You got it, right? Gals, we love you. We want to honor you. And I pledge to you that the men in this church are going to grow more and more mature in this respect. I think they're doing a great job already, but we want to get better at it. Amen? Next one is we honor those who serve you in the church. 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. But remember, it goes both ways. It goes from the people to the leaders and from the leaders to the people. I don't want to build a culture of honor where everybody is, oh, you know, the senior pastor. A lot of circles, the word culture of honor refers to, like, you know, exalting that person who's the king of the castle, the head honcho, the big kahuna, whatever you want to call him. And that's not what that's about. There's a measure of truth in there, yes. But it's talking about everybody honoring. Jesus said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. For even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus demonstrated servant-heartedness and sacrifice. And so we honor, and it goes every direction in this church. My favorite verse about honor is in Romans 12, verse 10. How many competitive people do we have here today? Here's what it says. Outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. Actually, Paul actually says it. Make a contest of it. I'm going to honor you greater than you can honor me. Nanner, nanner, nanner. We want to honor one another. Make a game of it. Make a wonderful, healthy, spirited contest out of it. Number four, and I'm going to ask the worship team if they'll come up. We're going to do something a little bit different here, but honor is enlarged as a result of sacrifice. When there is sacrifice, there is greater honor due, and that's what Paul referred to about Epaphroditus. And so, who has sacrificed for you? And number 5 says, give honor to whom honor is due. So moms, you deserve honor. Ladies, you deserve honor. We honor you today. Veterans, we honor you. You deserve honor. First responders, we honor you. You made a great sacrifice. Teachers. Dads. This is all everybody needs. Who's made a sacrifice needs that honor due. I'll tell you what, though. There's nobody who's made a greater sacrifice than Jesus. Who willingly. I was thinking about that this morning. He willingly went. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He goes, Dad. He said, Father. If he was speaking King James. I don't think he was. He was speaking Aramaic. But he's saying, Dad, is there any way I can get out of this? Is there another way? It's going to be a big deal. Tomorrow, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be whipped and brutally beaten. And not only that, I'm going to have the sin of the world put on me. Is there any other way? He goes, doesn't matter. Not my will, but yours be done. That is sacrifice. I want to make sure that moms, yes, we honor you, and we'll honor dads next month. And, you know, don't just slough it off to a Hallmark thing. We want to honor moms all the time. We want to honor dads. We want to honor people to whom honor is due. But most of all, Jesus. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. John the Apostle wrote in Revelation a picture of this. And we're going to do something a little different. We're going to sing a song first before we do the last song where we normally do communion and offering. This is just a worship song. I wonder if you'd stand with me as I read this scripture. Revelation chapter 5, starting in verse 11, says, then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen.